Shall we open our Bibles to the book of Philippians? We all need peace. That's my subject today. And when you think of God in heaven, He is in perfect peace. Nothing ruffles God. Even though He knows all things, He's interested in all things and everything in our lives, God is in perfect peace. So when He talks about giving us His peace, well, as we see, that's a peace that passes understanding. That's a peace that's independent of circumstances. That's a peace that's based upon our relationship with the Lord. God has a monopoly on this peace. Now, the world would love it, but it's only the Christian that has it. So let's read in Philippians 4. I want to read the context where we were last time. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation or gentleness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Pastor Galt, would you lead us in prayer?
Father and our God, we thank you for this great peace that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that we have the privilege of being born again. And Lord, we're looking forward to the day when we're going to see you face to face. But until that time, dear Lord, we understand that we have responsibilities here that you've left us here to do. We pray, Lord, that we'll be very faithful at that. Giving forth the word of God, endeavoring to win someone else to Jesus Christ. Thank you for this time together. Lord, I pray that you'll bless Pastor DeMar as he opens up the word to our hearts. May the Holy Spirit use him. May our hearts be open and receptive this morning, we pray. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask my dear wife if you get me a bottle of water. Forgot that. You don't want a dry message today. Well, in the book of Philippians, you might call this God's psychology chapter. And so I got you on the couch. I'm going to counsel you. But you don't have to tell me anything. I'm just going to tell you what you need to know. And it's a wonderful section. And I considered going into further verses because you have actually three things here related to peace. Now, remember last week, let me review, get the context a little bit. Rejoice in the Lord, always. And again, I say rejoice. That's a command. God's commandments are not burdensome. And it's God's will to rejoice. It's in the Lord, though. That's the basis of the joy. Well, that's also true with the peace. And we saw, let our sweet reasonableness, as one commentary put it, be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. You can do that if you have joy in the Lord. In fact, if there's a peace of God, there's going to be peace with one another. And we've seen that already in this book, a couple ladies that needed that, Euodias and Syntyche. Now, let me read the text a little further. We saw peace that comes through prayer, but we'll get to this. It'll be a couple weeks after Dr. Anderson's here. By the way, I hope you can join us, and those online can join us. So he's driving 4.5 hours from West Virginia to get here to minister the word. So we look for a special time. Appreciate prayer for that time. So we see peace through prayer. We'll consider today. Next time, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now you can pray, pray and pray. But if you don't meditate on what's good, the anxiety will keep on coming. So that meditation on what's good. Verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Sometimes there's some action required in order to have the peace of God. We want to be in line with His will. And so, how important these things are, brethren. We're going to look at just one today. Thank you very much. Wow, it's even open. And we don't want to make you thirsty. In Philippians chapter 4, How important, I want to start with this, how important this theme is, this thought of peace. You know, this isn't just a theory here. God wants us to enter in to this. And it's true, we live in a world of turmoil, don't we? I don't think I've ever seen a time, never been a time in my lifetime, where there's so much turmoil. You got the rioting, all the disrespect of police, like they like to overthrow them. You have the pandemic, just keeps on raging. And so, and then there are personal trials, right? Personal pressures, trials, difficulties. Sin is real, sickness is real, problems are real. But the peace of God is real. And that's what we need, the peace of God that passes understanding. So God has an antidote for us, brethren, and we want to enter into this. We want to lay hold of this. This needs to become experiential, a reality for us. So now he starts out with a negative thought. No, that's a positive, but it's referring to something negative. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for no thing, not even one thing. Be anxious. Now that word anxious, well, it's careful in the King James. It has to do with being fretful, with undue concern, worry. I used to have an engineer come up to my desk and go like this, make you nervous just to watch him. And undue concern. It's just a job, you know. It's just machines. And worry or care, these things can tear us apart. These things, it's related to fear, really. It's related to emotions that can get out of control. Let's go to Psalm 77:4. Now, I don't want to dwell on this too much. I don't want to make you anxious with considering. I read Martin Lloyd-Jones. He's great commentary. And he went the longest time on this thought of anxiety. I won't do that to you. But you know what it is. We've all had it. And to be honest, we had it last weekend with Eva. And you're anxious because you care, right? And you don't want anything to happen. And so it motivates prayer. But God says, don't be anxious. And we'll see the antidote. Psalm 77:4. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Now you know what that's talking about. You're laying in bed, and your eyes are wide open. You're not sleeping because you're worrying, because you're giving undue concern to something. And now, for me, my wife, she has trouble falling asleep. I'm asleep like that. But then I'll wake up in the middle of the night and not fall back asleep sometimes. And so you can be laying there, your eyes are open, and you're thinking. And now, What might you be thinking about? It might be many things. Anxiety is in the realm of the heart and in the mind. Now we know that because later on he talks about the peace of God guarding your heart and your mind. And we'll get to that and what that means. But that's the realm. So we're talking about emotions that can run high. Imaginations can run wild. What if this happens? If that happens, what if this happens? You ever done that? And the mind goes on. It may never happen, but you're worried about it. You're worried that it may happen. You're anxious about that. You're forecasting the future. Now, there's a few places in the Bible specifically where it says don't be anxious. Let's go to Matthew 6, very familiar passage, where Jesus is talking about the cure for care here. And I want to read it. I'm taking my time. I have almost an hour. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Uh-oh, did I step on a wire? Things used to be simpler. Matthew 6, 25. Jesus said, therefore I say to you, take no thought. Now, over much thought, again, I'm going to use the word anxious. Be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body than raiment? Now, a young person getting established in life, they're thinking about vocation, a job. An older person, you're thinking, Now, is the Social Security going to be enough? Probably not, you know. How are you going to be provided for? And behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Now, you believe that, right? He does provide for the birds. You might help. We have a bird feeder, but it's God who provides. In verse 27, which of you by taking thought, being anxious, can add one cubit unto his stature? So it's counterproductive to worry. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now notice that statement. O ye of little faith. There's the antidote. Trust in the Lord about this. Therefore, be not anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, the unsaved, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So God knows. He knows the needs. He knows before we ask. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So there's an application. Don't be anxious about material provision. Trust God. Look at his creation. Look how he provides. We're of much more value than many sparrows, it says in one text. Isn't he going to meet our needs? Doesn't he know our needs? Yes, he does. And here's another one. Verse 34 actually deals with the future. Now there's that imagination going wild. What if? Verse 34. Take therefore no thought. Don't be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall be anxious for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. One day at a time. That's all we can handle. And so don't be anxious about material provision. Don't be anxious about the future and what may happen. Now, here's an interesting one. Luke chapter 10. You know, you can be very much involved in Christian service. You can be involved so much that you get anxious. And that's what happened to dear Martha when Jesus came for dinner. Now, I don't know if I should take time to go into the whole text. I guess we can. Verse 10:38. Now it came to pass, Luke 10:38, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, now this is something you don't want to do. Don't rebuke the Lord. Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And don't tell the Lord what to do. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, wasn't he patient? Thou art careful, there it is, anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, we often refer to that passage as the one needful thing of sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his word, and it is. But how about Martha getting anxious? You know how that can happen? Because we don't sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word. We don't go to the resource that we have in the Lord, the word of God. In Romans chapter 15, it talks about how these things are written that we might, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So how supernatural God's word is to minister to our hearts. So let's go back now in Philippians. So be anxious for nothing. No, not one thing, whether it be material provision, whether it be the future, whether it be Christian service. You could go farther, right? Whether it be decisions that you have to make, whether it be relationships, whatever problem, maybe it's health. Be anxious for no thing, not one thing. Be anxious. You know what this is related to, brethren? Fear. Fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That can really debilitate. You know, you get anxious, you're not focusing on the Lord. You get anxious, it can be that we're not really trusting. And now, can you do this? Can you just turn that off, you know? the heart and the mind. It's working overtime. What if? What if? The emotions are getting high. No, you can't do it. You can't do this, a poor illustration, any more than an alcoholic can keep drinking. You know, in fact, this can be a habit. This can be a habit of anxiety. I told you I got you on my couch. This could be a habit of anxiety where worry is a habit. We're going to worry about that as though it does some good. It doesn't do any good. Any more than that engineer was solving the problem, you know, going like this. And so be anxious for nothing. And now we're going to see three antidotes, but I'm just taking one today because I want to drag my feet on this because of its importance. But you do want to get the overall picture, though. Prayer, that's number one. Meditation, that's number two. Action, doing what we can, that's number three. You know, that can greatly alleviate anxiety as well. Okay, so be anxious, not for one thing, not even one thing, but back in our text, but in everything, all-inclusive, by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There's actually four things here about how to approach God about this. It's very important. The order is very important, in fact. And so this is the antidote for anxiety. This is God's, again, his psychology book, so to speak. Now, this first one for prayer, probably the most important, it's the general term for prayer. And you notice he doesn't say, bring your specific requests first. No, prayer. This is a reverent address to God. This is an act of worship. This is where you're getting your heart and your mind occupied with him. Cold front moving in, don't worry. And so, now, you remember the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:9. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's where prayer ought to start. We did a little study on prayer on Sunday nights for a while, a series. That's where prayer starts. We want to come reverently and worshipfully in the presence of God. And if we can come in the presence of God like that by faith and with a true heart and full assurance of faith, like it says in Hebrews 10, draw near to God, that itself can alleviate anxiety, although usually there's some objective issues that we want to talk to God about, right, that might trigger anxiety. So we'll get to that with the supplications and the requests. But first of all, there's prayer. Now, there are some prerequisites, right, to come to God in prayer. And Hebrews 11:6 says, those that come to God must believe that he is and the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So it's got to be with faith, right? And let's go to Mark 11:24, familiar passage. So faith is foundational. You know, prayer can be prayerless, right? Prayer can... And we don't, even though there might be anxiety, it's a mistake to, oh God, help! You know, that isn't what he says to do. You know, the prayer shouldn't be some expression of our anxiety. No, we want to come in faith. And Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Well, let me go back in verse 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Hudson Taylor renders that, hold fast that God is faithful. You know, faith is looking at God who's faithful. You trust him because he's trustworthy. You have faith in him because he's faithful. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, that doesn't mean that it's a blank check. Whatever you ask, if you ask in faith, it's going to be done. In fact, we wouldn't want to have all of our requests. We want God's will. And so that's another prerequisite. I'm speaking generally, but I think it's important. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. There's some key elements of prayer. We want to pray in faith. In the book of 1 John chapter 5, in verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he hear us. If we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So we wouldn't want anything but God's will. But let's go back to chapter 3, verse 22 of 1 John, another prerequisite for prayer. 3:22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. Do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That would be similar to Proverbs, if we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. And so how important to come in the right way. But now I want to get back to the main thought that I should have stayed on, and that is prayer. Yes, it's with faith and God's will and our lives lined up if it's going to be effectual prayer. But we want to come into God's presence, brethren. There is, in the presence of the Lord, there's peace. And in the presence of the Lord, there's a consciousness, isn't there, that you're in the presence of the Lord. And here's an example, biblically, in Psalm 73, Asaph, he's got some anxiety. He sees the prosperity of the wicked. He's apparently struggling and suffering. And then he does. He comes into the presence of the Lord, and he says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? There's none on earth that I desire beside thee. Though my flesh and my heart fail, yet God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." It's good for me to draw near to God. He gets his head on straight that God is my portion. He's the one I want to draw near to. And you know, the trials that may seem so great, they're not so great if we're seeing God. They're not so great if we come into his presence and we realize he's faithful. He loves us. Nothing can separate us from his love. He's all wise and all loving and sovereign. And so how good it is to get our focus on him, off looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So in everything, all inclusive, by prayer, a reverent address to God, an act of worship. So next time the anxiety runs high, the emotions are running high, the imagination is running, what if? Be still and know that I am God. We want to get quiet in the presence of the Lord. Now, it might go something like this. Heavenly Father, you know my heart right now. I want to draw near to thee. I want to get my heart and my mind on thee. Help me to do that. You know God can help us to do that. And that's a supernatural thing, isn't it? Where you're in the presence of God and you already, God has given you a calmness because you're seeing him. Okay, now let's get to the, we have something on our minds though, right? You may have something on your mind today. It's between you and God. Yeah, but notice what he says, in everything by prayer and supplication. Now supplication is a humble beseeching. This is asking God and for specific needs that are felt. But you're asking, he's God, so it reminds me of the leper who came to Jesus and he said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." He didn't command God. No, he's asking. You know, that's all we can do. We don't command God, but we can humbly beseech. And so, now, generally we pray when we do feel our need. So this does come from a felt need. And then, as we're going to see, that we have a request. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5, where this word supplication is used. And as in everything, Jesus is the main example. Hebrews chapter 5. In verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, and that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, you know that's referring to Gethsemane. Great wrestling in prayer, right? Sweating drops of blood. An angel even came to strengthen him during that time. And, Lord, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, thy will be done. And God gave him an answer. By the way, the answer isn't always exactly what we might ask, but we want to bow to his will, whatever that is. But that was strong crying and tears. He offered supplications. Notice that. With strong crying and tears. So we can come in that way, brethren. We can pour it all out to the Lord, like we heard in the scripture reading. Pour out your heart to God. God is a refuge for us. So here we're going beyond the just coming into God's presence. But now we've got something specific here, a request that we're bringing to him. Now, this next one is interesting. You might say, well, it's thrown in there. No, it isn't. It's real vital. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Now, you might say, well, how can I be thankful when I'm in the midst of this trial? I got a heavy trial. I got a loved one that's really in trouble. Or I got a very serious health condition. Or I've got a financial crisis. And on about the things that might make us anxious. With thanksgiving. Now, this could be in several ways. This could be for past blessings, where you look back. I was with a friend, I won't mention who it is, not in the church here, a Christian, and he has a business, and it's threatened because of the pandemic. You know, a lot of businesses are threatened because of the pandemic. And so, considering shutting it down, but I reminded him, Jehovah Jireh, you know, God has blessed in the past. He's provided. He's going to provide in the future. I'm amazed at this Christian businessman and who he has been delivered so many times. So I trust he'll be delivered again. Well, we can look at the past and blessings that God has given that can encourage us as we bring the supplications. Or we can look at the present blessings. In fact, we want to do that, don't we? And like David, let's go to Psalm 103. We're coming up on Thanksgiving next month. Very important, isn't it, to in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's will. In Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Now that's a thankful praise to God, that blessing the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That's what we might tend to do when we get anxious and we got some problems. We forget the times that he's blessed in the past, or we forget the present blessings that we have. And he lists the benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. You're saved as a believer. Who healeth all thy diseases. You're still here, right? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, could have died many times. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. His mercies are new every morning. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. He continues to renew us. Goes on to say the Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed, and so forth. So, how important that is to have that thanksgiving, realizing every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from above. The Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So, you know, we don't want to come before God as ungrateful children. Now, why am I in this situation here? And we've been hearing a good study on trial in the Sunday school, Pastor Ben. And we've seen how trials come from God. It's like Ron Hamilton's hymn, Rejoice in the Lord, I think it is, and he says in the hymn, I've learned that trials come from above. You know, the trial, he had melanoma cancer in his eye. Usually he only lived 2 or 3 years with that. Lived 40 years, has dementia now. But happy in the Lord, though. Interesting testimony. But he, you know the story, Patch the Pirate, you know, and the children's ministry that came out of that. So we want to be thankful. We may not understand why we're going through such and such. We don't have to understand. We have a Heavenly Father that we can trust. We can thank Him for His goodness to us. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, them that are called in according to his purpose. We know that, right? Even if it doesn't turn out just how we think that it would. Even if our supplication doesn't go the way we think, we can thank him. And so we can thank him for past blessings, present blessings, future blessings. And if you're in the neighborhood, please go to Psalm 100. You know, this is always how we want to approach God, brethren. We want to be thankful people. Psalm 100, verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Why do this? The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. So how important that with thanksgiving, that that be part of our prayers as we come in a worshipful way, as we come bringing our supplications to him, how important that we be thankful. Count your blessings and watch unto prayer and to continue in thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2. Now, I want to say something here that might relate to the future blessing. Say you've got a burden. You've got a specific request. You want it to go a certain way. You're asking God that it would go a certain way, but you realize it may not. You want to be thankful for that. Because of that principle that God works all things together for good, because of the principle, if God be for us, who can be against us? Because of the principle, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you a story. Maybe I shouldn't. It might scare you. But in this past week, I had this a loss of taste. It's a sign of the virus. So, but I thought, this is a sinus issue, because I got sinus issues, post-nasal drip. You don't want to know all about that. And anyway, so I sent an email to my doctor. She's an MD. She's holistic, too. Well, what's a doctor going to do? Get tested. So I got tested. It's blood tested. It's for the antibody. You see, I'm smiling. I don't have it. And it's an acute test for the virus. Well, that's an interesting 24 hours when you're waiting for the results of that test, you know. I'm studying for this message during this time. And a couple commentaries, they bring this out. Well, this thanksgiving expresses a submission to God, who is all-wise, all-loving, and sovereign. So if it doesn't go the way that you want, be thankful. Anyway, it went the way I wanted. But I don't have it. But I didn't know. And God ordains those tests. It's interesting. But how we want to be thankful, okay? If it goes wrong, or what we might think is wrong, it's never wrong with God. Because he's sovereign, he's all-loving, and he is all-wise, and what he does is good. Do you believe it? You know, we don't want to, I want it this way, Lord. Well, that's not a supplication. You know, supplication is you're beseeching God, and we're appealing to him. Now, let's get to the specifics here. You know, I thought, well, I got a lot of time, and now it's running out. Let your requests be made known unto God. Okay, get it up there. And I'll have to quote some of these now. In James 4:2, you have not because you ask not. You know, that's such a mistake, right? You can have anxiety and, wait a minute, I haven't talked to God about it. We want to talk to God about it. Jesus said, ask, it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened. It's present tense imperative. Ask, keep on asking, and it shall be given. So he wants us to come. God bids us ask. And we want to do it in a very open way with God. And one good example, I was going to read it, but I'll just refer to it, is 1 Samuel 1, you know the story, where Hannah was barren. And she was persecuted for it. You know, that was a great reproach for a Jewish woman to be barren. And therefore, she went to God, and she poured out her heart. Now, Eli the priest thought that she was drunk, not very discerning. And she said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit, and I'm pouring out my soul to the Lord. And So she did that, and she had a special request that God would give her a male child. And if he did, she'd dedicate that child to the Lord. God answered that, by the way. That was Samuel, one of the greatest ever Israelite leaders. And he's a prophet and a priest. And so she went away, and her countenance was no more what? Sad. She knew what it was to pour it out to the Lord. And we're going to see the result of that. Let your request be made known unto God. So we want to cast our care on Him because He cares for us. You and I are not built to carry the burdens. I have people call me sometimes. You know, a ministry is not just in your local body, but your community. There's one lady in particular. She'll call about her problems. It's a trial along this line with anxiety. So I'll try to tell her. You know, you can't carry that burden. We're not built to carry that burden. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Literally means I will rest you. And so we need to get it up there. Psalm 37:5 says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." And that word commit means roll thy way upon the Lord. Here it is, Lord. I'm putting this into your hands. You know what's concerning me. And I want to put this into your hands. Psalm 55:22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." So let your requests be made known unto God. Don't forget to pray. Don't forget to put it into God's hands. Here it is, Lord. It needs to be a habit, right? We are praying without ceasing. And a habit where, and we're thankful because we know God is good. A habit where we're coming into God's presence in prayer and beseeching Him. Okay, now let's get to the good part. "And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, you know the important thing about this? To realize, this isn't just, "I'll give you peace." This is God's peace. Just like Jesus said, "Joy I give unto you." Or he said, let me quote, John 14:27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I give unto you." Or, "I've spoken these things that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be full." So this is God's peace. This is supernatural. Now I want to say something that's important, and there may be those in my hearing my voice that don't have peace with God yet. Maybe there's not that personal trust in Christ as Savior. Maybe there's a question mark about that. Well, you're not going to get the peace of God because you have to have peace with God first. And let's turn to Romans 5:1. This is foundational to the peace of God. Romans 5:1. Romans 5:1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." This is where you know the war is over. You know you're justified by faith. You have peace with God. You know your sins are forgiven and you're going to heaven and you're anticipating that. That's foundational, isn't it? You have that. That itself will give you peace. But peace with God is all important. Now, I'll come back to that at the end in relation to communion today. I need to wrap it up so we can do that. And the peace of God is His peace that He imparts to us. Let me quote another, if I may. In Isaiah 26:3, you may know it. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust in the Lord forever. He's the rock of ages." That's the Hebrew. There's two things there. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Not all the things we're worrying about, you know, like Peter, the winds and the waves, look out, you're going to sink. No, we're stayed on him, off looking to Jesus, and we're trusting in him. You know the hymn by Francis Havergal, Like a River Glorious. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. I want to go back to my illustration that I gave, where, okay, I might have the virus. And so I, in my own mind, felt that, okay, I need to submit to that if that would be God's will. God gave me a peace. I'll have to testify about that, even if it went that way. Well, God wants us to have it because this is independent of circumstances. And later we see in this text, God is the God of peace. And again, Jesus is the one who can impart peace. And the Holy Spirit gives the fruit of peace, love, joy, peace. So just like Christ stilled the winds and the waves, so he can still our hearts. There's a beautiful painting, you might have seen this, that illustrates, in fact, it's entitled Peace. And it's a bird in a nest. Back behind it is a roaring waterfall. Well, you might say, well, that's not a picture of peace. I think a boat in a harbor, or maybe, and it's calm, or maybe I'm on an island, you know, with somebody I love, and it's everything is good, you know, fruit trees, whatever. No, the real picture of peace, biblically, is that bird in the nest. Because a waterfall is always roaring. In the world you shall have tribulation. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In me you shall have peace. So this is a peace that's independent of circumstances. In fact, he goes on to say that passes all understanding. It transcends all understanding. It's supernatural. Goes beyond reasoning. So there's an interesting true story about some missionaries, the Carpenters. And they had a missionary daughter who had typhoid. And their daughter was getting close to death, and they both prayed about this. And God gave them peace, whatever happened. And she died. Now, was that God's will? I'm sure they prayed that she live. But before she even died, they submitted with thanksgiving. And they had that peace of God. This isn't based on circumstances. This is based on trusting the Lord and realizing he's good and he's in control, that he does love us. And do you believe it? You believe he's in control? You know, the unsaved think they're in control. I've told this maybe too many times. My kids would tell me, Dad, you told that illustration too many times. Where my dad would say, Doug, you felt your need to be saved. I've always grabbed the bull by the horns. That's what worked for me. Well, it didn't work when he had Alzheimer's. He trusted the Lord at the end. But we're not in control. God's in control. You can't grab the bull by the horns and have the victory that way. God wants us to trust in him and cast our care on him. And he'll give us the peace of God that passes understanding. This passes understanding. It reminds me of Hudson Taylor in the Boxer Rebellion in 1900. His favorite hymn was, Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. There's one report after another of missionaries getting martyred. But God gave him peace because he had come to that place, just resting in the Lord, trusting in the Lord. So now what will this peace that passes understanding do? It will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It will... Literally, it means it'll mount guard like a military garrison. And interestingly, in the city of Philippi, which was a Roman colony, they had a Roman garrison outside the city. They had pretty good protection. Well, this is what he's saying here. This peace will be your protection. It'll be the protection of your heart, which is the personality. You know, that's the emotions, the will. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. And thy mind, Romans 12:2, talks about as a result of presenting our body a living sacrifice, there's a renewing of the mind, the thought processes. And so God can give us a peace that guards that heart and mind. And Colossians 3:15, pardon me for just referring for time, but it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And what that means is, let it be an umpire. Let it be the controlling factor in your life. Make sure you're in that place of peace. Don't get out of that place where you have peace, the peace of God. And so it'll guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Now, you know the theme of Philippians. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Christian experience. And let me read something that Hendrickson said, William Hendrickson. The man of trust and prayer has entered that impregnable citadel from which no one can dislodge him, and the name of that fortress is Christ Jesus. I love that. The man of trust and prayer has entered that impregnable citadel from which no one can dislodge him, and the name of that fortress is Christ Jesus. So this isn't just some feeling God gives us. No. This is where we're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ in a very personal way. We know him. We're trusting him. We know he loves us. We know he's faithful. And we can bring our petitions to him and pour our hearts out because he's our Savior. So he is that fortress for us, brethren. This is in Christ Jesus that we can have this. So it's so different from the world. You know, I heard that there's a election or anxiety. That's a good one. I'm sorry. But should the Christian worry about this at all? Did you know whichever way it goes, it's God's will? Think about that. I have a certain way I want it to go, but I'm telling you, whichever way it goes, it's God's will. And because you read Daniel 2:21, he sets up one king, he puts down another. He might even do that to judge a nation that's far from God. We don't want it to happen. We love America. But anyway, the world doesn't have peace. We have peace, and it's part of a testimony to the world. We've got something that they don't have. And hopefully we can exhibit that. You know, that's a drawing factor. In their time of trial, they might come to you. So God commands us, brethren, not to be anxious. That wouldn't do any good, though, if he, just like when he said, fear not. I am with thee. Be not anxious, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we have a recourse. We have the Lord. This is his peace. It can guard our hearts and minds. How's your peace today? It's personal. Don't get into this, you know. We're worrying about everything, and you maybe have a list. And if you do have a list, roll them over on God, right? And in all these things, let your requests be made known unto God. Beseech him. And so what a wonderful thing God can do for us. It's only in him. You know, it's only when we know him. And now I want to go back to, well, we read Romans 5, but please go to Ephesians 2. I want to go back to this thought of peace with God. You know, it all comes from the cross. You think of the death of Jesus Christ. And think of the great suffering. We've been studying Isaiah 53 Wednesday night. And it's amazing, isn't it, all that Jesus went through. And the sacrifice that he willingly offered by which we could be saved. You think there's violence in the world? Look at the cross. Look at what Jesus was subjected to. And as he went as a lamb to the slaughter, and he opened not his mouth, that we could have peace with God. And notice Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that are nigh. And so Jesus, when he died on that cross a couple thousand years ago, God the Son, you know, God manifest in the flesh, lived a sinless life, and offered himself up. For that purpose he came, he said, to give his life a ransom for many. And that price was so fully and perfectly paid by the Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb of God, that he said, it is finished. There's nothing you can add to that. And salvation is of the Lord. He accomplished it completely. But isn't it wonderful when you believe you've got peace with God? And he gives you that assurance. There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. You know that nothing can separate you from his love. So we've talked about the peace of God. We enjoy that peace of God as Christians. But if you don't have peace with God, you can't have the peace of God. There's a passage in Exodus, I think it's 22:25, where the Lord said, I'll meet you at the mercy seat. And I'll commune with you. We're about to have communion. We meet him at the cross. You meet him at the cross when you're saved. You meet him at the cross as a Christian, right? And I like what C.H. McIntosh on the Pentateuch, he said to the believer, stay close to the cross. There's your peace. In fact, how much, even not just peace with God, but the peace of God that can minister to our hearts, and how much that can minimize anxieties. You say, well, I failed here. Jesus paid for that sin. As Bob Philbrick said, forget it. You go on. You confess that. You go on, right? Claim that. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so how important this is to realize God's unconditional love. We didn't deserve this at all. We're all sinners. And we talked to a man yesterday by the name of Charles, and very open, and he said, well, I don't know that God could forgive me. Well, that's a good frame of mind. You know, he's admitting he's a sinner. And, oh, yes, God could forgive him, you know, if he realizes Jesus paid the price. And so what a wonderful Savior we have. What a wonderful complete payment was made that we can have peace with God, have the peace of God. Father, we thank you for this time together in the Word. We thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who purchased our peace on the cross. We thank you, Father, for the Christian life. And there are trials. There can be deep trials that each one of us have, and it's something that we have in common. But how we thank you, Father, that we can meet with you. We can pour our hearts out to you. We can beseech and bring our specific requests to you. And therefore we ask, Father, you know the burden of every heart here today, whatever may be the concern, that you'd help them in that, in trust and prayer, to know thy peace, that could replace anxiety. We thank you that you do answer prayer. We thank you that you are a God of deliverance. And so many times you have done that. And so we pray, Father, just now as we take communion, as our minds go back to the cross of Calvary, we thank you for the unspeakable gift of thy Son. This is the most important thing, that Jesus died for our sins. And we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.